evening. We'd like to start the meeting tonight by singing number 206. And this hymn speaks about the Spirit of God. And that's what I want to speak about tonight, the Spirit of God and how the Spirit of God works in our lives. And let's sing number 206. Oh Lord, we know it matters not how sweet the song may be. No heart but love, the Spirit taught, makes melody to me. Chapter 32 and verse 8. Psalm 32 and verse 8. It says, I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. So tonight I want to practically talk about how do we get better at listening to the Spirit of God in this busy world. We have busy lives. And so how can we be guided by the Spirit in our daily responsibilities and the daily decisions of life? I think first we need to have the Word of God in our hearts before we can do His will, before we can know His will so we can do His will. And there's a verse in Psalm 40, Psalm 40 and verse 8. I delight to do thy will, O my God. yea, thy law is within my heart. So I think this is the key to being guided by the Holy Spirit in the daily decisions, in the daily things of life. Now, instead of perhaps delighting to be led by the Holy Spirit for us to do the will of God, we might end up doing nothing just because our life becomes controlled by what other people think and by what others think that I should do. And so, you know, there was, when we were in Mozambique in Maputo, there was a man there, and he was a quadriplegic, and he was paralyzed. He could do nothing to help himself. He could do nothing for himself. So he just got pushed around by others. And another man, he pushed him through the traffic, and they waved at cars, and they were begging for money. And they were using this helpless man as a tool to generate money for himself. This other man, he was taking the paralyzed man through and begging for money. And so the invalid, he could not even say, I don't want to do this. He was controlled by the outside forces. And we often worry about the fear of really knowing what is the Lord's will for my life. And sometimes it ends up in paralysis. And we get pushed around in life, just like the man in the wheelchair. And we never really hear the subtle suggestions of the Spirit of God. And we get controlled, perhaps, by the standards of some brother or sister who's a little more legal than the others. Or maybe we get controlled by our desire to be accepted in this world. And we get controlled by pressure from our peers at school or at work. Or the demands. We're controlled by the demands of our society and our job and our schooling. Or maybe we're controlled by our desire for success or our quest for pleasure. Let's go to Matthew chapter 25. We often tend to look for the will of God for our future, but the future never comes. We really need to be concerned with the question of what is the will of God for me right now? And I think if we are faithful in the little things, we'll be guided in future things later on. And so let's look at this verse in Matthew 25 and verse 21. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. So how do we know the Lord's will for our life? We have the Word of God that instructs us what to do. We also have the Spirit of God that lives and dwells inside of us, who guides us to do what the Word of God says. You might say, I'm waiting on the Lord to know His will about what I should do, or when I should do it, and where I should do it, and why I should do it. And our search for the Lord's will in our life can become sometimes an excuse for inaction. And it might even be an excuse for disobedience to what the will of God is telling us. And so let's look in Galatians chapter 5. So I ask this question, is it possible for us to be led by the Spirit to respond in a way that is on an as-needed basis with our friends or with our child or with our spouse or with an acquaintance or in any circumstance of life or for any decision? And in other words, is it possible for us to be led by the Spirit of God on the spur of the moment? for decisions that need to be made. And in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 25, it says, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. If you are saved, that means that you have the Spirit of God in you. And that means you are living in the Spirit. And verse 25 says that we need to live. That if we live in the Spirit, then we need to walk in the Spirit. So in other words, I need to let the Spirit guide my every action and my every decision in my daily life. And so we ask the question, do we make everyday decisions controlled by our carnal desires and the flesh, or do we allow ourselves to be led and directed by the Spirit of God? I suppose if I get up in the morning and I listen to the news while I eat my breakfast, and then I go to work, I turn the radio on all day, and I come home and I eat, I check the internet, maybe I play some game or check the news, watch a movie, and go to bed, the Spirit of God is not able to fill me. The Spirit of God is not even able to have a little space in my heart. And if I have not allowed the Spirit any space in my daily routine, how can I live in the Spirit? How can I walk in the Spirit when the Spirit has no say in my life? And so if I don't give the Spirit of God any recognition, if we don't give the Spirit of God any recognition in our lives, what happens when you're with your girlfriend or you're in a customer's home and there's temptations there and you start to get intimate? Well, you need to walk in the Spirit even when you're with your girlfriend, or perhaps you're getting hooked on reading and you're reading the 50 Shades of Grey and books like that. And if you're not walking in the Spirit each and every day, it will be difficult for us to keep ourselves pure. And so we need to look into the Scripture to see if God approves of us pursuing our desires. We don't pursue our desire and then check the Word of God. We check the Word of God first before we pursue those desires. And so if God says no, it might become a real struggle for us. But if we have the Spirit of God within us, we need to walk in the Spirit. And we need to depend on the Lord Jesus for the grace to overcome those desires that are within our hearts. Let's go to Galatians 5 and verse 16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. In one way, this sounds very simple. Just walk in the Spirit, and you'll be okay. But in another way, it might sound very high and mighty. And the things that we are occupied with can keep us from hearing the leading of the Spirit. But the more we commune with the Lord Jesus through the Spirit, I think the more we will be prepared and ready for the Master's use. Let's look at another verse in Romans chapter 12. And I think we'll see that we can receive daily divine guidance through Scripture. And as we learn to do and to obey the direct guidance of the Spirit of God through Scripture, I think we can have our minds renewed. And that's what it says in our verse here in Romans 12, verse 2. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. when you have had your mind renewed by the Spirit of God, you get to know the heart of God. And when the communion of the Spirit is a regular part of our daily life, we'll be more ready and able to respond as various needs and decisions arise. And so back to our question of allowing the Spirit of God to guide me in the little decisions of life, such as, do I go to Tim Hortons or McDonald's? It may be that the Spirit of God gives you a word of encouragement. And does the carnality of my selfish desire for perhaps a latte take me to Tim Hortons? Or do I allow the Spirit of God to lead me into McDonald's because the Spirit of God knows someone in the parking lot needs an act of kindness or a word of encouragement? We can't know that. But we can respond and just act. Allow the Spirit of God just to guide our every move. I know it's not going to be that simple as to, but the Lord can guide us and direct us. And even into the small decisions of whether I go here or go there, when it doesn't really make much difference which one I go to. And so as you pull, and another thing, as you pull into the parking lot of McDonald's, maybe you cut someone off so you can get a good parking spot and get ahead of them. And then you try to be led by the Spirit of God to talk to someone to encourage them in the Lord Jesus. How does that work? Living by the Spirit isn't something we turn on and we turn off. Living by the Spirit should be a whole life commitment and not just something we use for certain on certain occasions and ignore the Spirit of God at other times in our life. And so these are things that I myself need to be aware of in my own life as well. So another point is that the Spirit guides us in sharing the gospel. And so how do you know to listen to the Lord when He's telling you to go to Burger King instead of Hardee's? So you'll be able to give a tract to the cashier who is searching. We don't know that the cashier is searching, but the Spirit of God does. And so I remember one time at the market in Karonga in Africa when we went to the market, and we went to a certain restaurant there, and two white women came into the restaurant. And now that's very unusual because there's no white people in Karonga. And so we were there, and so we visited with them a little bit. And then later in the day, we went to the internet cafe, and those same two white women were in the internet cafe. And they had found out that we had had 6 gospel meetings that day in 3 different schools with more than 3,500 students. And these two women, they were volunteering at a school in a different village. And so when they heard that we were sharing the gospel, they asked if we would come to their school and share the gospel with them. And so the next day, we went to their school and we preached the gospel. And someone got saved. One young man, he was interested and he wanted to be saved. And so, was it a coincidence that we met these two women and accepted their invitation? Or was it the Spirit of God at work? Because the Spirit of God knew that young man was searching. Let's go to Romans chapter 8. And then the question is, does the Spirit of God guide us in prayer? The Spirit of God communicates with our spirit. And that is because God made us in their image. We have a spirit that can communicate with God. And in Romans chapter 8, verse 16, it tells us this. It says, the Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And so the Spirit of God can put a certain person in our thoughts at a specific time. And it may be that the Spirit of God wants us to pray for that person. Why did that person's name or that person come to our mind just at that very moment? Well, maybe we should pray for them. Have you ever prayed for a certain person at a certain moment, not knowing that that person needed prayer at that time? And that's exactly what they needed? Because who knew that that certain person needed intercession at that time? Was it coincidence? Or was it the Spirit of God at work? I know we might get discouraged in our prayers, in praying, but don't give up. Because we may never know the outcome of our prayers. When we pray for that certain person, we may never hear if that person had difficulties on that day or what it was. But just don't give up, because heaven itself will reveal at the judgment seat of Christ all the value of those prayers that went up before the throne of grace. And so let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 8. And then we have a question about giving. Does the Spirit of God guide us in our giving? And in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, let's look at verse 11. Now therefore, perform the doing of it, that as there was a readiness to will, so there may be a performance also out of that which ye have. For if there first be a willing mind, it is accepted according to that a man has, and not according to that he hath not. So in other words, it doesn't matter to God if you only have $50 or $5 to give to the needy, or if you have $5,000 to share on a bigger scale. God can use both. And it may be that the $50 that you share is a bigger gift than the $5,000 that someone else shares. That's just like the widow with the two mites. She put in just two little coins. But that was more, the Lord Jesus said, than all the others. But what does matter is that first you have a willing mind. And as our verse says, a readiness to will. So if we need to have a willing mind so that the Spirit of God can communicate with our spirit, so God can guide your heart for giving. Some people ask, what are the needs here, or what are the needs there? And if there's a need, I want to help. And then there's others who are begging for help. Give us money. But there needs to be faith in waiting on the Lord to receive money. There also has to be the same amount of faith to give. If I know all the needs and I only give to where the need is, that's not faith. So the Lord wants us to give in faith and trust Him for guiding us in that. In verse 13, 2 Corinthians 8, verse 13, I mean not that other men be eased and ye burdened, but by an equality now at this time your abundance may be a supply for their want, that their abundance also may be a supply for your want, that there may be equality. You know, there's a young lady, she's not so young now, but in Malawi, and one day we received some money for this specific woman. And when we took it to the lady that day, she was overwhelmed with thankfulness. Because her two children, who had been kidnapped by her husband, who had separated from her and beat her and tried to get rid of her, one day he kidnapped her two young children, and she hasn't had them since. That was many years ago. But on this week, the man allowed the two children to go and visit their mother. They hadn't seen her for many months. But they were able to go and see their mother. And so on that very day that we gave her the money, was the day that those children came to be with her. She had no money for food to feed them. The children needed clothes, and she could not care for those children. But that was the very day we brought the money to help her. Was that coincidence, or was that the Spirit of God at work? We didn't know that this young lady had that need. The people, the person who sent the money, didn't know the situation. But the Spirit of God knew, and He arranged that all would work together for good at the right time. Are we in tune with the Spirit of God to give money by faith? The needy, like we said earlier, the needy, they come and they ask, they may ask you for money, and you say, well, you just have faith. You tell God about your needs. And so the needy need to receive by faith, but sometimes we need to give in faith, like happened with this young lady. Let's go to Acts chapter 8, and we'll look at some examples of individuals that were led by God in their everyday life and how they could act in faith. And we'll start with Philip in Acts chapter 8. And verse 26, I'll just read a part of the verse. It says, "And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise and go." The angel of the Lord told Philip the evangelist, go to that road that went from Jerusalem down to Gaza. Maybe it was down by the Gaza Strip. Probably not, but it was a remote, deserted area. And Philip was told to go and speak to an Ethiopian eunuch that was passing by that way. And he got there at that very moment as the chariot was going by. And the result was that the Ethiopian got saved. Was it a coincidence that Philip went into the desert? No. He was led by the Spirit of God to go at that moment to the very place where the Ethiopian eunuch was passing by. And so he was led by the Spirit of God. Another example is Samuel. Samuel was living in the house with Eli the prophet. And Samuel heard somebody talking to him in the night. And he thought it was Eli speaking to him. So he gets up and he goes and talks to Eli and said, "You did call me." And this occurred on three occasions. And Eli, he sensed that it was God, the Lord, speaking to Samuel. And so after that, Samuel communicated directly with God. But Samuel, first, he had to learn to recognize that it was the Lord who was speaking to him. And in Samuel, he also had to gradually learn to hear the voice of God when God spoke to him. And so I think we need to be regularly in touch with God so that we know when He is speaking to us. Let's go to Romans chapter 8. And this is the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul experienced the leading of the Spirit in his daily life. And he shares it with us here in Romans chapter 8 and verse 14. He says, "As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God." This verse speaks about the sons of God. A child of God is one who is saved. But a son of God is a person who is saved and has developed an intimate fellowship, a communion with the Father. A son or daughter is led by the Spirit of God. So as we develop that relationship with God, the Father, then the Spirit of God is free to guide and direct us. And so we can be led by the Spirit of God. And so a person who wishes to know the leading of the Spirit must yield himself completely to the control of the Spirit of God. And so this includes our hearts, our minds, our personality, our imaginations, our will, We need to give it all into the control of the Spirit of God. In Acts chapter 16, I think through this we can see also that the Spirit of God can guide us through circumstances. And how were Paul and Silas led to give the gospel to Lydia and to the jailer of the Philippi prison? In Acts 16, Paul and Silas, they were forbidden by the Spirit of God to preach the Word of God, and to preach the Word in Asia. Now, then after that, the Spirit did not allow them to go into Bithynia. And so the Spirit of God can lead. I'm not going to read this chapter, but in this chapter is where we read about that. But the Spirit of God, it directed them. We're not told how, but how the Spirit of God told them not to go and not to preach the Word in Asia. But the Spirit of God guided them. It may be by circumstances. Maybe they missed the boat. Maybe there were some other problems along the way. And so they were hindered in going to these places. And so, back home in Michigan, I have some cases of Swahili Bibles that need to be delivered to the Christians in Congo and in Burundi. And they've sent me an invitation to come and to preach the gospel and to encourage the Christians there. And so I write out my application for visas, and I have to send them off to the embassies down in Washington, D.C. Now, I don't know if those visas will be approved or not. If they're approved, I'll be able to go. If they're not approved, obviously I can't get into their country, so I cannot go. And so it may be that I will be forbidden to go to these countries through circumstances of having those visas denied. And so we don't know what method that the Spirit of God used to forbid Paul and Silas from going into Asia, into Bithynia. But sometimes God uses circumstances to lead us and to direct us. So with Paul and Silas, later on, the Holy Spirit directed them to go to the city of Philippi, into the region of Macedonia. And let's read verse 12. In Acts 16, verse 12. And from thence to Philippi, which is the chief city of that part of Macedonia, and a colony, and we were in that city abiding certain days. And so, and then let's go down to verse 13. And here we read about Lydia. And the Holy Spirit had led Paul and Silas to a prayer meeting down by the riverside where they met Lydia. And verse 13, and on the Sabbath we went out of the city by a riverside where prayer was wont to be made, and we sat down and spake unto the women which resorted thither. Was it a coincidence that was it a coincidence that led Paul and Silas to go down there to the riverside and to meet Lydia? Or was it the Spirit of God that guided and directed them down there? I think we all know that the Spirit of God guides and directs us. And in verse, let's go down to verse 23. And here's the Philippian jailer. While Paul and Silas were in the same city of Philippi, Paul and Silas were put into prison. And this was a circumstance. And it was the Spirit, of God guiding. And through circumstances, it led to the jailer's salvation. And in verse 23, it says, and when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them, that's Paul and Silas, cast Paul and Silas into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely. Well, we know what happened. Paul and Silas, they were singing praises to the Lord Jesus, and then there was a, and they were locked in their stocks back in the inner prison. The jailer was up front, but he could hear them singing. And then all at one point there was a great earthquake, and all the chains fell off all the prisoners, The jailer saw that and he was afraid for his life, because if those people escaped, he would pay for it with his life. And so he was ready to fall on a sword and take his own life. And Paul and Silas called out and said, "Do thyself no harm." And so the jailer, he comes running into them. He had been convicted in his soul. He had repented. And so he came and he says, "What must I do to be saved?" They didn't tell him to repent. They could tell he was repentant. And so they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved." And so the jailer was saved. And so there were good reasons why the Spirit of God sent Paul and Silas down to Philippi. And subsequently we know that there was an assembly established there in the city of Philippi. And later on, Paul wrote the book of Philippians, the letter of Philippians to that assembly, to these Christians. Now let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Another way we can receive divine guidance is perhaps through our minds, through reason. And now that we are saved, it is possible for us to think in godly ways, because we have been given the mind of Christ. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 16, it says, "For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ." As we read the Word of God and we become familiar with it, we are able to understand its meaning through the guidance of the Holy Spirit. And in Romans 8, verse 5, so let's go back to Romans 8 and verse 5. "For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit do mind the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace." And so when we allow the Spirit of God to be active in every aspect of our lives, then our thinking will also be guided by the Spirit of God and by the Word of God. Now I know that none of us are infallible, because we all have the carnal mind. We all have the flesh. And so we're all still capable of having wrong thoughts. We're all capable of missing the mind of the Spirit. And we might even say something that's wrong. We might even pray or do the wrong thing. But, for instance, how many times have we prayed about something that we really wanted to do? Or maybe it's about, we prayed about something we really wanted to buy. And the funny thing is that if it's something that we really want, the answer is always yes. And is that the carnal mind? Or is that being led by the Spirit of God? I remember a Christian husband and his wife. They were struggling in their marriage. And they were praying, they told me, they were praying about buying a $7,000 diamond ring. And they thought that would solve their marriage problems. Well, guess what the answer was? What did the Spirit of God tell them? They told me they felt free, that the Spirit of God wanted them to go ahead and buy that $7,000 ring. And so they went ahead, they bought their ring, and they were happy for the moment. Now they're divorced. Was that really the Spirit of God they were listening to? I suggest that we be careful what we pray for, because we might get it. So we need to be aware that we believers are either guided by the Spirit of God, or we're guided by our carnal minds. Let's go to Romans 14. Romans 14 and Verse 17 tells us what happens when we allow the Spirit of God to have control in our lives. In verse 17, the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost, in the Holy Spirit. The natural man does enjoy physical pleasures of meat and drink. And that is okay. It's okay if they do not control us or to distract us. But the natural man needs to be controlled in light of the kingdom of God, as we read here, by the righteousness, the peace, and the joy in the Holy Spirit. Let's look at John 14 in verse 26. John 14. And this verse shows us another effect in our life when we submit ourselves to the will of God. It says, But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Imagine the change in our meetings if we were occupied with Christ in our personal lives and we've learned to listen to the Spirit of God in the little things. We've been discussing recognizing the guidance of the Spirit for little decisions in life, or allowing the Spirit of God to guide us, even though we maybe don't fully understand all the workings behind it. But to allow the Spirit of God to guide and direct us in the little things. But if we are able to listen to the Spirit of God in the little things, the Spirit of God would be given more liberty. I believe we'd have more liberty in our local meetings in the assembly. And so the Spirit of God can be able to bring to your remembrance those things that you've learned in your personal study time. But the thing is, first you need to study. You need to read. You need to meditate and allow the Spirit of God to have something that He can draw from to help be a help in the assembly. And so you can be a help in the meetings, and you can be a help. This can also be a help in your daily interaction with other believers or other people in different situations that we experience each and every day. And so in 2 Corinthians chapter 13, I think if we want to be led by the Spirit of God in many decisions of life, I think it's helpful to have a good fellowship with God. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 14, we're called to a communion or a fellowship with God through the person of the Holy Spirit. Verse 14, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. So the more that we're in communion with God through the Holy Spirit, I believe the more we'll be filled with the Spirit, and the more we'll be able to respond to the guidance of the Spirit in the little decisions of our lives. That's all I had for us tonight. Maybe we could look at number 23. "'Tis Jesus, the first and the last, whose Spirit shall guide us safe home. We'll praise Him for all that is past, and trust Him for all that's to come." Number 23.
How good. Thank you.
Spirit of God that has been sent down as the Comforter, as the one to guide us and to lead us into all truth, as the one to bring to our remembrance those things that we've learned and enjoyed. And Father, we just ask that we be able to be subject and obedient and listen to the Spirit of God as He guides us and directs us in our lives. We give thanks that we have that guidance and that instruction. And give us this spiritual energy, Father, to listen and obey the leading of the Spirit. We just commit this evening to You, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.